Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Grace and Nurture. This is your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for tuning in on this glorious morning. Grace Nurture is a ministry of the Grace View Church of Christ located in Stone Mountain, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. He will also be presenting our words of encouragement for today. It is my advice that you stop whatever it is you are doing, find yourself a quiet corner, and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Brother Bradshaw, you are on the air.
Good morning, everybody, everywhere. And it is cold in Riverdale. Freezing, like 32, something like that. Probably all over the place. But boy, it is cold, and it is 7 o'clock, and it's still black as 3 midnight outside because it's overcast. But I think the sun probably stick his little head out here after a little while, and we'll probably get on up at least about 34. But in a roundabout way, it's sort of a heat wave. For the people who live north, of course, I'm from Kentucky, and we're not north, but we're not south either. And usually this little kind of weather right here is sort of like a little heat wave. But nevertheless, good morning, everybody, everywhere. Appreciate you tuning into our program for this morning. We're going to be looking at the book of Hebrews in just a few minutes, what time we have left for the book of Hebrews. And today is Wednesday, the 13th of January, 2021. And don't let that day fool you, because a lot of people think the 13th is a voodoo kind of a thing. Matter of fact, most hotels, when you get in the elevator, it don't have a 13th floor. It jumps from 12 to 14. Most maybe probably you didn't know that, but they don't have it listed on the thing as a 13th floor because of the superstitious about it. But this day is just as good as any other day. Why? Because this is the day that the Lord has made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it. Probably it's only superstitious to those who sort of deem it to be that way. Now, I know that most people think Friday the 13th, but usually when the 13th come up on any particular day, people sort of schedule that. But come January the 18th is Martin Luther King's birthday. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty we're free at last. That's the why I brought up this book of Hebrews, especially for that particular phrase. When we say free at last, thank God Almighty we're free at last, is because in the book of Hebrews, which is a very beautiful book, and I would encourage you to read it from kibble to kibble. Read all 13 chapters of the book of Hebrews, because it will enlighten you. It will enlighten you about our freedom from sin. It will enlighten you our freedom from the old covenant. It will enlighten you to let you know that Christ is superior, that Moses had his day. But anyway, this is the first of the year, 13th day of the year, and most of us have been thinking about some changes in our lives. What we're going to do, how it's going to come about, and I'm telling you, boy, we are starting off rocky. We started off, rocky. And some of you think about some changes, and so one of the first questions you need to ask yourself, first question is, do I need to make a change? This may not apply to everybody. You may already have a pretty decent routine. Your daily life may be going pretty good. You get up in the morning, you make coffee, so routine. You look at TV, look at the news, and go to the mailbox, put your dinner on, things of that sort. Go to sleep, wake up, do the next thing. So maybe this may not be for you, but there are some people who probably need to consider this, is that there are probably some changes that you need to make in your life. And I know it do. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, the church of Christ, the one that you can read about in the Bible, I know there's some changes that need to be made. That's number one. Number two, do I have the resources to make the change? A lot of times we don't. We think about them. We wish we had. And why I say this is because the lottery now is over $6 million. I know some people do some scratch-offs. I know some people do some scratch-offs. They act like they don't play the lottery, but they do. I was asking one of the members about let's get some of those little pencils so that our members can so that the visitors can sign the visitors cards when they come in. And I said, why don't you go ahead and order them little pencils? They said, what kind of little pencils are you talking about? I said, you know, the little yellow pencils. We can put them in the back of the pew when the visitors come. They can sign the visitors card. They said, oh, you talking about the lottery pencils? So I know you'd be playing a lottery, but anyway. I have the resources to change. And when I mention that, I mean somebody would say, boy, and you know that thing is over $6 billion right now. And most of us say, boy, that would change my life. There'd be a lot of things that I would do with that money. And on that note, regardless of how you get the money, whether it's a lottery or somebody leave you the money or it's in a will or something of that sort, you know, most of us think that that when somebody asks us, say, what we're going to do with that money, and you say that you're going to give it to the poor or you're going to give some to the church or something like that, we sort of think that that is the most noble thing in the world to do, but it's not in a roundabout way. Most of us are not giving now with what little bit we have, so I wouldn't bank on trying to get no more money once you get it in your hands. But sometimes they think that's the most money. Yeah, first thing I would do would give it to the poor. No, you won't. Probably won't even go in that direction. But do I have the resources to make the change? And the third one is, am I stable enough to make the change? Yeah, you'd be surprised that depending on what change you're trying to make, you may not have the stability or be stable enough to make that change. And then the fourth one is it going to hurt to make a change? Answer to that is yes. Not all changes hurt us, but some changes do. Just say, for instance, you decide you just done all you could do to stay in a relationship or something like that, whether you're dating somebody or something of that sort, and you think, I need to get out of this relationship. I mean, they're rude to you every day. They slap you around. They won't let you have no space. Matter of fact, they already done told you that if I can't have you, nobody can have you. And I've already been to the morgue to see how that works out. And so some of you need to make some change. Some of you probably need to make some change with some friends that you got that you drug over into 2021, and they were not healthy for you in 20, and they're not going to be healthy for you in 21, and they're not going to see you prosper or they're not going to give you any kind of happiness. And so sometimes you have to make some changes, and some of those kind of changes sort of hurt. And then number five would be, do I have the time to make the change? And I know, don't give me this thing like there's always time. No, it ain't. That's one of the biggest lies that I've ever been told. You know, that there's always time to make a change. There's always time to do this and time to do that. That's not altogether true. Just go to the graveyard and look at some of the epitaphs on those things, and you'll see dates caught them. So we really don't have a change. So this is January 2021 on the 13th at 7:10 in the morning, something like that. Sorry, on the mark, get ready, get set, time for you to start trying to make some changes, and because you don't have time. Matter of fact, during the course of this year, quit procrastinating. Stop putting off. Do what you say you're going to do. Do what you're going to say you're going to do in that particular day, because today isn't, tomorrow's not promised. We're going to claim it, but tomorrow's not promised. And then in Georgia, the weather is so funny. You say, well, I'm going to do this tomorrow, and it's 32 degrees outside and raining or whatever, and you can't do what you're going to do. Then the next day, it's clear, and now you're too lazy to do it. You have to quit procrastinating. And then now number six is, if I make the change, will I stay with the change? Now, that's pretty simple. You know how we start out the year talking about, I'm gonna go on a diet, I'm going to lose 50 pounds, and I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that. And then come around about March, April, we're back in the same old mold again, then broke that habit, everything. So if I make the change, will I be able to stay with the change? And then, so those are some. Those are just six things I want to mention to you this morning about that change. And so, as I said before, thank God Almighty, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. In the book of Hebrews, Jesus Christ is over Judaism. Christ is superior to the angels. He is superior to Moses. He is superior to the high priest. So the New Testament covenant, which Jesus brought into existence, he's a mediator, is superior to the old covenant, which he abolished. In view of this superiority of Christ, Christians must give more earnest heed to the things they hear, lest at any time he should let them slip. Must not have an unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Must enter God's rest. Must not fall away. Must hold on the best we possibly can to the hope of our profession. I like that word, profession. We'll talk about that at some point in time. Must fix their eyes constantly on the example of Jesus. And so he is the mediator of a better covenant. Thank God for that. Now, in Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 9, he says, "But we see Jesus, who made himself a little lower than angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." Taste death once and for all. Then in Hebrews chapter 3, beginning verses 1, he said, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly call, consider an apostle the high priest of our profession." Who is that? That's Jesus Christ, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all of his own house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses. Now, he's saying Moses had his day. Most of us have problems with that kind of thing. Well, you know, Moses was a good man. He led him out. He did. He took him as far as he could go. And now it's time for Christ. And so verse number 3 says, "For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who had built the house has more honor than the house." He says, "For every house is built by some man, but he that buildeth all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant and as a testimony of these things which were to be spoken of afterwards." He said, "But Christ," verse number 6, look at that. And matter of fact, throughout the book of Hebrews, you'll see this B-U-T, but word all of the time, because it's going to explain to you now, and it's going to try to let you, it's not going to just dump it on you. He's really trying to talk this thing out in the book of Hebrews to let you know the difference between between angels, between the high priest, between Moses, and between Christ. And said, but then he said, verse number 6, he said, "But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast to the confidence and rejoicing of the hope which is found in Christ Jesus. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the days of the provocation and temptation in the wilderness, when the Father tempted me, prove me." So in this passage, he says, "But Christ as a son over his own house." Then in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 14, he says, "Seeing then that we have a high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God," he said, "let us hold fast to our profession." You know, that word profession is the word that we really need to look at, because if Christianity is our profession, then we ought to be good at it. It seemed like to me if Christianity is our profession, we ought to try to improve on it. It seemed like to me that if Christianity, or being a Christian, or being a child of God, is our profession, then we should really have conquered that long ago. I know most of you who the jobs that you're going today, that you're considered to be that's your profession. When somebody asks you, say, "What's your profession?" You say, "Oh, I'm a carpenter. I work at the bank, or I work at this place or that place." And all indication is supposed to be that you have enough knowledge and enough intelligence and enough whereabouts to do the job that you're doing. So I'm saying that we pretty much far behind as being a profession in the Christianity and in our churches. Most of our churches we should have been further down the road than we are. Is because some of us didn't grow in our profession, some of us don't even profess to be one. But I like that word, and when we get back together, we sort of probably need to key on that word and let all of our members know that, look, brothers and sisters, we are professions. We are professors in what we do. And we need to start at this point. If we have not in the past, we need to start at this point right here now, improving on what we do with our Christianity, improving on what we do with the word of God. And so he says in verse number 5 and verse number 12, he said, for the time we ought to, this is what I'm trying to say about this word of profession. When for the time we ought to be teachers, we have need one to teach us again, which is the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as having need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses assured to discern both good and evil. And then finally, in chapter 6, verse number 1, he said, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance against dead works and faith toward God. He says, of the doctrine of baptism and laying on of hands and the resurrections of the dead and the eternal judgment. He says, and this we will do if God permit. He said, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, have tasted the good heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and having tasted the good gift of God and the power of the Word to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they have crucified themselves the Son of God afresh, and have put him to an open shame. So what am I saying? I'm saying that Christianity is our profession, and I am calling upon each one upon this call this morning to let's go to school, let's get some books, let's get some education, let's get some learning so that we can be the professor and improve upon our profession, which is being a child of God. Jesus loved you, he died for you, and he's coming again, and have a super duper day.